Welcome to Purpose Talk Radio on this Monday, the 27th of February, 2012. This is Barbara speaking, and today, as every Monday at this time, we offer you inspiration and the opportunity to connect with your soul for the next 55 minutes. Today, we invite you to join Jen and me as we share with you our own journey and explorations. And we'd really like to invite you to call into the show. You can speak live with Jen and me. And here are the numbers for callers. You can call either toll-free for the U.S. and Canada. That is 888-627-6008. I repeat, 888-627-6008. Or you can use the different lines, and I'll give you the first three lines. That is 530-327-7602. That's line one. 530-413-4510 is line two. And 530-413-4522 is line three. And you can Skype in as well. Please add to your contacts the Skype name BBS Radio. Hi, Jen. Are you there?
Hi, Barbara. I sure am. So this is Jan speaking, and we are so glad that you're here to join us today in this sacred space. Once again, we come to you live from northern Germany in southern Oregon, and it is such a pleasure to be here with you. We're always excited to have this time with you, and today especially to share our own stories and adventures. And we do hope you'll call in with questions for us. It's going to be a fun show today, as always. Barbara?
Yay! Yes, Barbara again. Some of you might know both of us from our Facebook group, The Soul Healing Circle, and might have an idea of our values, talents, and the focus, and how we tick. And yet, we so far have never really informally introduced ourselves apart from scratching the surface a little, really. So today, that's going to change, and we'd like to share a little more about who we are and why we do the things we do and why we love what we do.
Well, this is Jan again, and as you know, I've been instructed to make sure I introduce the work I do with angels each week on this program. You've heard me say it before. I'll tell you again, some angels are just what you think of from pictures. They have wings and halos, and some live in human form. There are spirits who act as your guides, and some angels are those you've known and loved who exchange their physical body for one that's lighter and easier to maneuver so they can move about faster. Sometimes we forget that those who've shed their heavy human forms are happy and vibrantly alive. I urge you to remember them with love, no matter what your relationship was on this plane. And to remember that when we're in spirit form, we are unconditional love. And just allow that love to wash over you, to embrace you, and to revel in it. When you have a question or concern and you can't seem to figure out the answer, or perhaps you have the answer but you need some corroboration that you really got it, the angels, guides, and spirits want to share their insights with you, which is so awesome because they have such a broader view of their lives than we do. When someone you love has left this life and you want to know they're okay, I can connect with them and bring their messages back to you. Remember, you are loved. So we've each drawn a card for today. Barbara, you want to start?
Yeah, I'd love to because it's so funny. We were talking about an affirmation for today's show, and when I read the affirmation, I had a giggle and laugh because I had just kind of like probably at the same time as the affirmation came up for Jen, I had drawn a card, and it just is so much in alignment. And the card that I drew is from the Power Animal deck that I use, which is from a German colleague. Yeah, she started out as an air hostess and is now a full-fledged coach and author, as far as I know. Her name is Jeanne Ruland. And if you are interested in getting more details about this book, I'd be glad to give them to you right now. I don't have it with me. And the card that I'm looking at is Vulture, which is a very, 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 very powerful and I would even say beautiful animal. Some don't think so because vultures sometimes don't, some of the species don't look very pretty. But when you look at their wingspan, for example, it's just amazing. When the condor, I've went to a falconry and the falconer had a condor on his arm. Is that what you say in English as well, condor? The bird, Jen?
Oops, sorry, had me on mute. Yes, that is exactly the right word.
Okay. So this bird, like, he or she was totally gray, and then spread one wing, and it just looked like an angel was standing behind the falconer, because the whole wing covered the arm of the falconer. It was just amazing. And these creatures, they prefer walking. Some of them, they don't really like flying, only when they have to, but they prefer walking. And then this vulture was on the ground walking towards the audience when we were sitting there, and the falconer was explaining about vultures and what makes this bird so special. It's just amazing to see, but then you can't see the full power of this animal until it flies and it spreads the wings. And this card, the meaning of this card, vulture or condor, is magical knowledge. And it's definitely about spreading our wings. And what it says or suggests is that old sufferings are now being released, which I might be crying in a minute here as well, because this is pretty personal also. And the vulture suggests that we now let go of everything that is not in alignment with us anymore. My cat just typed in there as well. He just wanted to let you know he's here also. All that is not authentic and in sync with us does not belong to us. So now we're standing in front of the elevator that will take us upwards and only upwards. So let's talk to our spirit guides to support us in letting go. They will lead us with very clear messages onto our personal path of happiness. Vulture allows us to change and shift, to release, and vulture brings us the strength that we need for this process. Old wounds will now heal in such ways as we couldn't imagine. We deserve to be happy. We are beautiful and unique creations of Source. Let's be ready. Let's trust in our spirit guides and let's let go. Allow ourselves to live a life of harmony, happiness, freedom, and abundance. That's just
that is so, so perfect. That is awesome. And the card I drew is called Fulfillment, and it shows, I'm not sure if it's a mother or it looks like a queen almost, holding a baby, and her robe is just voluminous. There are lotus blossoms, there are water lilies in all stages of opening, there are gemstones, there's a snake, the one that's in the circle holding his tail in his mouth. And there's this big orb behind them. It's an absolutely beautiful card. And what I was given from it is, as the baby or child, everything you need is right there. The only thing you need to do is to accept. All the abundance and prosperity of the universe is waiting for you. Will you accept those gifts?
I'm laughing.
Many people... Amazing. Yeah, you'll laugh even more. Wait till I get done here. Many people have left their treasures behind, forgotten the gifts they were promised, and struck out on their own. It is time to remember and reclaim those gifts. The first step in that process is to remember who you truly are. Once you know who you are, you've taken the first step toward growing your soul and reclaiming all that was promised. And those who are on your spiritual path may still not remember the unconditional promises that were made and that you, your soul, promised to you. As you listen more and strive less, you'll find yourself reconnecting with your soul's purpose and with all the treasures that you brought with you and that were promised to you in this lifetime. It's up to us to remember that suffering is a choice. Happiness is a choice. You have the choice to suffer or to reconnect more deeply with your soul. All the gifts and treasures are available to you without any striving on your part. All you have to do is remember who you are and allow. And our affirmation for today is just for today, I let go and allow spirit to lead me. I was kind of, it was kind of stunned when all that came out and it led right into the affirmation that we had already decided on. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and for the listeners, this is just, it happens to me when I do coaching with clients and we talk, we go through the session and we go for finding solutions, for being aware and for realizing certain things. And then at the end of the session, sometimes either the client asks, can they draw a card, or I offer if they want to draw a card, and then they can choose the deck, or there's a deck already on the table or something. And it's so funny because I'm just sitting there giggling when they draw the card and it comes to explaining the card, because it just sums up everything that we talked about in that session. And just for the listeners, Jan and me don't talk about which card we draw beforehand. We just draw individually. I just wanted to make this clear that we're in such alignment, which is so beautiful. And then this affirmation that puts it all together, which we're going to repeat at the end of the show for more impact for each of us, for the listeners, for our listeners, for you, and for me and for Jen as well, because it concerns all of us. And it's such, what's coming up is such beauty of the moment, of this moment, of this day, and the coming days, and the relief of, yes, 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 I can allow to let go. And the reminder of this is just so, so beautiful. Mm-hmm. I hope we have many, many, many listeners that are jumping up and down with joy today with this message, because it's so important, and it's wham bam, it's so powerful, because it came from everywhere really today. And sure enough, I think it'll continue through today, because once we put our awareness towards these things, we pull more of it into our lives.
Right. I'm going to repeat that affirmation again real quick, and then, because we will repeat it later, but since you're talking about it more, I'll repeat it. Just for today, I let go and allow spirit to lead me.
Just grinning, nodding and grinning. It's, if I didn't have ears, I'd be grinning in a circle. It's just so cool. It's so cool. Yeah, and I mean, it's just when we decided to talk about what each of us has seen and experienced on our path, on our personal path. For me, definitely it has to go with letting spirit lead and trusting in my spirit guides, trusting in my soul wisdom, my inner wisdom. And I'm sure it's the same for you, Jen. And it's just beautiful, because it all comes together to a certain point, and it feels like there's an explosion of happiness happening.
Mm-hmm. So how did you get started on your path, Barbara?
Yeah, you were saying something about striving with the card that you drew. That's kind of like one of my talents. Sometimes I'm not so sure if it's really a talent, because I can be a bit over-striving sometimes. So, yeah, I mean, that was in a time when I was really concentrated on career and business and, yeah, make money and everything else. So I was working in advertising and marketing, which is pretty stressful in itself. And the requirements were you have to work 24/7. You have to be available 24/7. You don't have a family because the company is your family and all that. But it didn't really make me happy. There was something missing. And then I got introduced to Reiki, and I was like, oh, okay. And being introduced through my sister, who was the most realistic and down-to-earth person that I knew, I was very surprised, because I didn't figure her for the soft spiritual kind of like person. And how wrong was I? Because I said to her, what are you doing? Okay. Energy, hands, self-healing. Okay, I want to try that. So we scheduled a session. So I was lying in her living room on her beautiful carpet. She was doing a Reiki session with me, and pretty fast I started crying. I started shaking uncontrollably, and she was really in shock, because she had just started with the Reiki herself. And she's like, oh my God, you want me to stop? And I said, no, it's fine. All the stress is coming out. And it was so close to the surface that she really tickled it out in a way. And I was so impressed with that. So I said, okay, where can I learn that? Where do I have to go? What do I have to do? So she gave me the contact of her Reiki teacher. And I made an appointment, and yes, there I was in my first Reiki class, and that was nearly 17 years ago. And from there on, it was pretty straightforward. I was hooked completely, and I was like so fascinated, because the first thing that happened for me during the class is that my hands, I was following the instructions of the teacher. I was saying, okay, so there's certain positions, there's this frame, this structure that we learned where to put the hands, what position on the body, and to leave them there for a certain amount of time or until the energy flow feels the same in both hands. And I was like, oh, okay, this is all new to me. So, yeah, my head was all involved trying to figure it out and doing it right. And then there I was, putting my hands there, and we weren't talking, we were focusing, and my Reiki teacher was sitting right next to me, and all of a sudden my hands went up, away from the body, but they were still staying in place on the same position, and I could feel that the energy was flowing. And she looked at me, and she smiled, and I'm like, ugh? So I was asking her afterwards, am I doing it all? And she said, yeah, just follow your hands. And I'm like, oh, intuition. Oh, great. Yay. So when I came home after this class, the first thing that really clicked in, first subconsciously and then consciously, was, yes, follow your intuition. I'm allowed to follow my intuition again. That was what I was thinking at the time, that I am allowed to. It didn't dawn on me that I was the one allowing myself to be following my intuition and to be intuitive, because I had unlearned that. And then after that, I was calling my teacher and I said, when can I do the next class? And she said, give yourself some time. You know, your whole system is now growing into this new energy and everything else, which isn't really new energy, but my body wasn't used to it anymore. My whole system, it was reconnecting. And my mind was like, yeah, right. And then you start meditating, saying om, and sitting on the floor and starting to fly and everything else. So I had a bit of an interesting time with that. So my mind didn't allow me to do the meditations, and the visualizations didn't work for about 6 months or something afterwards. Uh-huh. And then I was like, oh, I really want to try. And that's the striving again. Trying to achieve something, because I had learned to be like that, go for my goals and everything else. And especially being in advertising, you have to be so focused and really going for what you want to achieve. So getting myself out of that and stepping back. So at some point, it was possible, all of a sudden, snap, and I was able to visualize all my worries going into this bubble, flying away at the horizon. And my mind was going, yeah, right, criticizing, commenting, and everything else. So there was this separation still going on. And the rest of me was going, yeah, it's okay, mind, calm down. But I didn't really do this consciously, that I had this conversation going on with between my mind and the rest of my system. That's just in hindsight, when I look back, that was what's happening. And everything changed from there, because shortly after, I left what I call standard society. I left a safe job as being a full-time employee, and I said, okay, I'm going self-employed. I'm going to be an entrepreneur. And that was, I was 26 years old, and it was totally against everything. My mother was going, oh my God, my poor child, what's she going to do to herself now? And I just said, this makes me happy. I want to do it, and this is an urge I want to follow. So I went self-employed, and shortly after, I'd done the second Reiki degree, which was totally fascinating with everything that was possible, with the bigger impulse of energy. Mm-hmm. And then my Reiki teacher said, and now really take a break, because you're all in love with this. That's all fine, but there is process happening as well. And I was like, yeah, that's okay, no problem, and everything else. I was just soaking it up like a sponge. And then she said, yeah, give yourself some time. So at some point, yes, it did hit me. Oh, there's process work. Okay. Oh, right. Looking at my shadows. What have I been doing over the past few years, and what's been happening in childhood and this? And then I met the right teachers and saw the right seminars. Somebody told me about workshops. So I started going into this direction pretty strongly and straightforward. And the Reiki was working inside of me, and I had been evangelizing to start out with, because I was so convinced with this. And we all know this, I think, like, this is so good, you really have to try it, let me touch you, let me give you some Reiki. And people were just going, leave me alone with this. So at some point, I was just standing there, and I was like, okay, I better stop talking about this and just use it for myself, because I thought I'm doing it to support others when I started doing it. And then at some point it clicked, and I was like, oh, maybe I'm doing it for myself and for my own personal growth. And that's where I started understanding, and that's where some of the veils fell for myself. I was like, okay, so this is personal development for me, and nobody was talking about personal development at the time. And I wouldn't have called it that either. It was just, it's good for me. And it helps me growing And it helps me feel good. It helps me being the intuitive person that I've always been as a child, which then had to be covered up by rational decisions because school requires that you do learn in a rational way. And then doing my apprenticeship, you have to do this, you have to do that. And intuition is not really something that worked in that field of business. Right. So that was pushed into the background. And then at some stage between Reiki 1 and Reiki 2, that came back and back and back and up again and up again. So I was like, okay, so it's the gut instinct. I can follow what in German we call the belly decision more and more. And then it just so many things fell into place. And then I went to Ireland in 1999. And after I came back a few years later only, I did my Reiki Master initiation, not knowing at that time, even not knowing that I really wanted to be a Reiki teacher. I wasn't aware of that fact. My Reiki teacher knew it from day one. When I started in the first Reiki class, she knew. I didn't. And it was really hard for her to not say anything because she could see all the potential in me, but I couldn't at the time. So it didn't help me. And I really appreciate the fact that she just kept her mouth shut and didn't say anything. And then I did the master initiation, and it was more growth, it was more power, and it took me another 2 or 3 years before I then decided that I want to be a Reiki teacher. And then I went back to her and we talked about it, and then she said okay. She gave me some information and instruction and everything else, and then I was on my path. And shortly after, I started having my first Reiki students, and I really enjoyed doing this. And over time, even when I was in what I call my Reiki apprenticeship, I realized so many things. I stopped evangelizing and everything else. And just today in the soul healing circle, we were talking about this as well, that everybody finds their own way. Some go to workshops. Some do their classes in a certain method or technique. And some just do it naturally. And because today the market is so open, it's great that everybody has the choice to look what they really feel good with, and they don't have to do it. And that's where it led me then into being, what happened when I started with Reiki is I was finding my own path. That's why I call myself Pathfinder now. And then I started doing soul work. That's why I call myself a soul worker now. And I really like the word light worker, but it is, to me, it's, I'm a light worker and a soul worker, which is kind of like the same. It's same, but different in a way. It fits me better personally to say that I'm a soul worker.
Mm-hmm. That is a little bit different than a light worker. I mean, you've got, I guess in my interpretation, light worker is more of an energy, working with energy for healing, for clearing spaces and all, whereas a soul worker is actually helping somebody to grow their soul.
Yeah, and that came over time, though, as well, the realizations, the awareness of things, and my own individual style with Reiki, because I was keeping to the tradition, which I still do. I grew up in the, for the people that know about Reiki, in the Uzui Reiki tradition, and there are so many colors of Reiki today, which is great, because it's an individual thing. And I just found, and I still do, I feel very comfortable in this traditional way of the way I learned it. But, you know, that doesn't mean it's only way and the totally right way, because everybody finds their perfect tools for themselves. And then, yeah, it all came together year by year, and it was a process. It still is a process. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I've now started attending another workshop because I know when it hits me, that's for me. And then I go for it, and I do this class or this workshop or this seminar or whatever else because I trust my intuition. I allow spirits to lead me in a way as well, if we want to separate intuition and spirit, because that's another thing that came to me, because my mind, when I started thinking about these things, yeah, right, spirit, angels, yeah, okay. And the rest of me was going, hey, it's okay. We can just accept the fact that these things exist, even if we can't see them, same as Reiki. Mm-hmm. I can feel it, and I can't really touch it, and yes, I can. And explaining it to somebody that has never heard of Reiki is a challenge. And what then happens with me is, like, I always offer, would you like to try it? And then if they say yes, I take one of their hands into my hand and we just talk. And sometimes I explain what's happening and sometimes I don't. And sometimes people feel something and sometimes they don't, but they can't see it. And it's the same with the existence of angels or spirits. Some of us can see or feel them or hear them, and some of us can't, and they're still there.
Right.
And it's the same with God. He, she is source, is energy, is not visible, and still we believe.
Right.
And that is a concept that I walked through looking at different belief systems, and I picked what I call my personal truth and what makes me happy to believe into. And yes, there is some form of infinite source, which is soul, which is God. And the question is, do we separate it or not? But that's a totally different discussion, really. I could go on for another 2 hours here, Jen. I'm really only warming up.
Well, one of the things that you said I wanted to address, because you were talking about your Reiki instructor and that she was suggesting that you take time to allow it to process through your body. And I think that that is one of the most important reasons, no matter what topic you're studying, but in soul growth, that's one of the most important reasons to work with a mentor, to work mm-hmm. with somebody who can say, okay, you can see their potential, but you also know that there is a time, there's a process that has to happen in their own body, in their own soul, before they can take that next step.
Mm-hmm. And those processes and time frames are totally individual, in my experience.
Right.
There was
right.
this guideline in the Reiki system of between the first and the second grade have so many months, and then between the second and the third grade have so many months. And I've experienced some people need this time, or some even need some more, and some don't. So,
right.
yeah, my responsibility as a Reiki teacher or a soul worker or whatever I offer my clients really is to see or feel without judgment, where do I see them? And yes, that's the seeing the potential, and can I tell them or not?
Mm-hmm.
That's my responsibility. And then suggesting, if somebody says, but I really want to do this, I can
right.
I can suggest, listen, what my experience is, and the way I look at it was your personal situation and the way you're soaking everything up, why don't you give yourself some time? But in the end, the client makes the decision. That's my experience, my personal experience. Yes, I totally agree that time is needed for processing whatever we do when we grow. It's the same as being in a choir. You get a new piece of music and you start practicing.
Right.
And it takes time before it's perfect.
Yeah, that's right. And it helps to have somebody there to help guide you through that process as well.
Yes. Yes.
Well, Barbara, I'm going to take us into our break time where we can mm-hmm. do our ads. And then when we come back, I'm going to be telling everybody about a technique that I was given years ago called soul body messages, and invite you all to call in if you want to. We'd love to talk with you. So do you want to go ahead and do your ad, Barbara?
Okay. I'm actually at the moment, I'm recreating a program that already exists in my drawer, and I've been working with this with my German customers, and it's called awareness training / awareness trainer. It's kind of, yeah, it's a program to support what I call colleagues, like fellow healers, fellow coaches, fellow light workers, soul workers, and trainers to round up really their own experience, everything that they've seen so far on their path, sum it up, look at it from a different perspective, maybe a bit of a different angle, and deepen it and get a bit of a new awareness, or maybe an old awareness. Just refocus and look at the diamond from all sides, really, and see all the facets of the diamond. And the intention is maybe getting an additional method out of this whole training with which we can support our clients, or maybe getting something, an aha moment for ourselves So the way I look at this program, it's going to be a 5-week program, which is going to be virtual. And right now I'm working on making it available on Facebook, and the rest will follow.
Okay.
That's it for now from me.
All right. Thank you. And as you know, I work with angels. I am sort of an angel transcriptionist or an angel messenger, where I get messages and pass them along to you. I do oracle card readings. And lately, this is something I've done for years, but lately it has come more to the forefront, is working with chakra clearing and also with deep root chakra work. So when you have gone through and cleared all of your chakras and made a nice, so all of them are shining beautifully and the fire is burning brightly, and then we go down into the root chakra, which has stuff from infancy, from while you're in the womb, from past life experiences. And that's also where all of the things that you haven't been able to deal with, you know, you've cleared all this stuff, but the money's still not coming. Or you've cleared all this stuff and the relationship still isn't what you want it to be. That's where all this is located. All of the last stuff, or the major stuff really, is in that root chakra. So that's the work that we do together, to get in there and to support you as you go through the process, because it's something that you really do need to work with a mentor. This is not something I suggest you do alone. So you can find Barbara at barbarapatterson.info. That's barbarapatterson.info. And you can find me at janrevel.com, JanReV as in Victor, ELL.com. Anything else, Barbara,
website.
You want to add?
Thank you for remembering my website. No, I just dive right into your topic of the soul body messages. So
okay.
Tell us, what is this technique of soul body messages and how did you learn it?
Well, I was practicing massage therapy back in 1976, actually. And it was in that period of time, before somewhere between 1976 and 1980, that this technique was given to me. And it was one of those fully downloaded things. At the time, I thought that it was how our emotions have shaped our body, because I was dealing with adults and I was doing massage. And since that time, I have come to understand that babies are born already shaped. And you can look at their bodies and read those messages and read the personality traits and where their undeveloped aspects are and where they're overdeveloped. And you don't need to wait for them to grow up. So therefore, there had to be something that happened before we were born in order to have these messages so clear in an infant. And I call them soul body messages because to me, these are messages that our soul has imprinted into our bodies to give us a blueprint or a roadmap, a guide for lessons that we have chosen to learn in this lifetime, and even the ways that we choose to learn them. So sometimes you'll find, well, and the way I look at it, or the way I interpret somebody, is to look at the real quick part, is to look at their face. So if you look in a mirror and you look at your face and you see that one side of your face is more developed than the other, or one eye is more active than the other, or when you smile, your smile is kind of crooked and it goes one side or the other, or one ear looks a little more prominent than the other, and the hair even grows more on one side than the other, and it's not necessarily the side where you part your hair. So these are things that I look at to help you figure out what the messages are and how you've chosen to learn those messages. The technique gets, I've given some 1-hour workshops that is so surface. It's just, okay, what can we do in an hour to show this? And I actually have certification programs that are 38 hours long that are for body workers and people who deal with you know, counselors and yoga teachers and others who deal with people and their bodies.
You were saying soul surface. I was there when we did a short workshop last year in Boston. Yes, soul surface, but yet scratching the surface immediately and going deep. I mean, yeah. I can remember we were sitting there and we were in tears, just looking at each other's faces, and we hadn't seen the other person in our lives ever before this day of the workshop. It is very intense, and even an hour of surface scratching can give us so many aha moments. So, yeah, I mean, that's a good way of trying it, having a try session to feel my way into if this is something for me. And if I feel, well, with me, it's like I hear something, I'm inspired, and I want to try it out. So I go, okay, where can I do a try session? And yeah, I mean, it's not really surface, I think.
Well, you know, it's when you're talking about a 38-hour class that goes really in depth to take all that and put it into 1 hour, it's kind of impossible. But it's fun to do those with people. We've had some really great times, and looking at somebody's feet and being able to talk about that part of it. But some of what I discovered, because I don't do massage any longer, is that I have people send me a drawing that they've done of themselves. And that has been phenomenal to see all of this stuff that is in a simple drawing, whether it's somebody, a balloon drawing that somebody makes of themselves, or whether they're an artist and do some abstract drawing of themselves. Absolutely phenomenal, the amount of information that comes through that can help that person. And it's the thing that I love about it in particular is that as a body worker, you can help somebody else to find out what these lessons are and the ways they've chosen to learn it and what they've done in the meantime, because there's always a lot of emotional overlay on an adult and how they can use the information for themselves. But really importantly to me is to get the message out to parents and grandparents so that they can work with a child who from infancy to, let's say, 7 or 10 years old, where they can see where these undeveloped aspects are, and they can help that child to develop them so that by the time they're 15 or 16 years old, or a teenager or a young adult, they already have become more balanced, that they have a better idea on knowing how to live in the world, well, more balanced is the best word that I can find for it. And from there, they can go on and start learning more of their own lessons, rather than having to wait until you're 20 or 30 or 50 before you figure any of this out. So it's an exciting thing to be able to do. I mean, you can take an infant. Imagine this. You can take an infant and you can look at that infant and you can say, oh, look at this. This is how this child is going to respond in certain situations. And so let's just say that they are really rational and logical. They're really dealing with responsibility, obligation, duty. They do that really, really well. Now, if you have a child that you're looking at, that's going to show up on the right side of the body. So if the right side of the face, if the right hand is larger, and this has nothing to do with right-handed or left-handed, but if the right hand is larger, if the right foot is larger, on boys, it's easy to tell because the testicles will be different sizes. Girls, it takes a little longer because they have to develop their breasts in order to be able to see the different discrepancy in sizes. But you can even take it right from infancy and you can say, all right, this child is going to be really rational and really logical, and they are totally lacking on the intuitive or emotional side, which means that they're going to have a challenge with relationships. And that is one of the lessons they have chosen to learn. Relationship lessons. And so as the parent and the grandparent, you have the ability then to present this child with opportunities to use their intuition, to learn how to trust their intuition, to teach them that emotions are good and that how to have healthy emotional interactions with people.
And on the
other side, you've got the person like me, for instance, who is completely left-sided. So this person is really intuitive, emotional, fly by the seat of your pants. They make impulsive judgments and decisions. And the lessons that you want to teach that child is how to be responsible. So teaching them lessons like you get an allowance and you need to learn how to budget that allowance, or how to budget, how to manage your checkbook, or things that are, see, I have a problem because I'm still not rational and logical. So, to come up with ideas of how you can help a child learn to become more rational and logical, just as a very young child, Some of those are the lemonade stand people, you know? I mean, these kids get out there and they know what they have to do to create their business and they make their money, and that's really great. Those are the ones who may have a little more problem with the intuitive emotional side because they've got the business sense down, but they don't have the rest of it down. The other thing that comes through with somebody who is really really intuitive as a child, and anybody who's intuitive knows this, that we get that discouraged out of us. Oh, it's just a dream, or you shouldn't talk about people like that, or whatever it is that comes out, however you exhibited that you have psychic ability or intuitive ability, that you're more in touch with that realm, that is discouraged out of us, and we're trained out of it in school rather than encouraged to say, okay, you're getting this intuitive sense from somebody, write it down, date it, write it down, and then keep a journal on it. And if you continue to know this person over a period of time, keep a journal because you will discover whether you're right or wrong and where you can trust your intuition and where you made a mistake. And you can figure that out and then you can decide where to go from there. So as you can tell, I get pretty excited about it.
So would you recommend that children or teenagers learn this method themselves also?
Young children probably, I don't know. Teenagers, absolutely, if they were interested, but teenagers have their own set of challenges, like raging hormones, for instance,
yeah,
that kind of take their brain and put it someplace else. It's very possible that you could teach a young child some of this, but really what you need to do is work with that child to teach them how to become a balanced human being. That's the first step in being able to achieve whatever goals you've set for this lifetime, whatever it is that you wanted to learn those lessons, and that's the best start. Because from there, you really have a strong foundation to work from, and you don't wobble, you don't fall, you've got a really good foundation to be able to go forward in growing yourself, in growing your soul, and you don't become quite as lost as some people do.
Yeah, and so, what you were saying about the grandparents, I think that is, for some families, it's a really good way. And I've heard that before from Pablo Russell, who is a Canadian, I don't know if he's a chief. I would say he's a spiritual teacher. He's First Nation, and he was saying, as advice to parents, he said, sometimes, when you want to get a message across to your children, go through the grandparents.
That's
because
right.
Because especially teenagers, sometimes they just close themselves up. I know when I was a teenager, I did. I closed myself up towards what my parents were saying, especially my mom. So it would have been good for me to have somebody as a grandparent to talk to, because it's a totally different approach. And the grandparents that have young kids around them, the little grandkids, you know, they're so cute and everything's fun, and still it's a challenge because they are so active and everything else, but you can give them back at the end of the day to the parents. But the same works for teenagers the other way around. If they want to get rid of their parents for a day, they can go to the grandparents and they can talk to the grandparents. So I really appreciate that you are stressing out how important it can be for grandparents to learn this method to work with their grandchildren.
Right, because grandparents want to be able to pass along something of value to their grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And it isn't just all playtime, but it can be playtime because a grandparent knows how to create games for mm-hmm. a child. And so therefore they can teach them these things that they need to learn and do it in such a way, like you said, that they'll listen to it and they'll actually get the lesson rather than resisting everything because their parent is telling them something. I mean, yeah, I loved being with my grandmother much more mm-hmm. than I liked being with my mother.
Yeah, sometimes it is like that, isn't it? I hope my children might be a little softer on me when they are bigger.
Well, it's just that with mom, she had to, as you know, as the mother or the father, you have to be the parental figure. You have to lay mm-hmm. down some boundaries, some guidelines, some rules. And so it's like, okay, back to school with mom. Hmm. Whereas with my grandmother, it was holiday. It was the freedom to be able to sit and read a book all day if I wanted to, or go out and I was never much of an outdoor person, but she did allow me to read as much as I wanted to, and that was really important to me. So that's the soul body messages. Do you have any questions about it? Or
yeah, you were saying that it was kind of like a full download in the 70s. Have you been following it all the way through to now, or was your path a little detoured at some point?
It was kind of detoured in a way, because like you said, that message came fully downloaded, and it was in the 70s, and I decided that these things almost always come to multiple people at the same time, so that if one refuses or doesn't get to deliver the message, somebody else will. And so I decided that somebody else could do it. I had written a book. I have to tell you, it was a really, it was bad. It was teenage flowery language, and it was really, just awful.
It was a book. He wrote a book.
The case studies were good, but the rest of it was not. And so I never published it. I did teach it, and I thought, well, maybe some of the people that I'm teaching will go on and develop it, you know, and teach it from there. And here it is, over 30 years later, and nobody is teaching the method. Nobody's doing it. Nobody's talking about it. So I decide, and I am now back in the town where I was given this message in the first place, which is kind of odd. So I decided that it is up to me to be able to deliver it. And it is in alignment with all the angelic work that I do. Because like you said, you know, I did Reiki. I'm a Reiki master. And as I was doing Reiki, I found the room was always crowded with Reiki masters and guides and angels and other people who had positive input for whoever it was I was working on. So the soul messages was the same thing, that when I was reading the body, it wasn't just a matter of touch. It was listening. It was intuiting whatever other messages needed to come through as well. So again, it was, it's been a long time. I've progressed. But again, and I've used it over the years, not as extensively, but I've used it. And then it was finally that recognition that this is a gift from our soul. This is a blueprint that we have. We don't have to spend our life trying to figure out what the heck we came here to do or how we're supposed to get there, because the messages are literally as plain as the nose on your face. Yeah. Literally.
And that's so fascinating when we look at it that way, when we focus and when we turn our attention and our awareness towards our body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then what you said, look, stand in front of the mirror and, and go further, go beyond the glimpse in the mirror for checking the hair, the makeup, the dress. Do I look okay to go out to work or something? It's really letting ourselves into the experience of meeting ourselves in the mirror and then looking at the posture and looking at the shoulders and looking like, okay, is my face balanced, without judgment and without criticizing ourselves? That's the beauty of it.
I've tried to smile. I'm very left-sided, so when I smile or laugh, my mouth goes up to the left. And I've tried very hard. I've looked in the mirror, and I smile, and I try and get my right side of my mouth to smile. So it's a balanced look, and it is so uncomfortable. And then, so I'm trying to get that feeling so I know when I go out someplace and I'm not looking in a mirror that I can potentially smile a balanced smile. And finally I said, the heck with it.
Yeah, that's describing.
I'm never going to be that real rational, logical person. So, oh well. So what I'm doing with it now is I'm working with people send me drawings of themselves, like I said, and also of their feet. So they either scan their feet by sitting or standing on the scanner. You got to be careful that you don't break it. Or some people have put ink on their feet and then stood on a piece of paper, and that works really well too, because there's an amazing amount of information just in your feet that can be used. And
especially if you stand on something, because then you can see, as the reading person, you can see the weight, how they balance the weight and everything. Beautiful.
It's very different between sitting and standing. And then I'm also doing workshops, like I said, the certification courses, to train people to do this and pass it along, and then the parent and grandparent classes for children. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty exciting to finally actually be out there and doing this.
Yay. Okay. Is that already on your website?
I don't know.
It'll be on your website. If it's not on your website, it will be on the website. Really
it will be. It will be on the website soon.
Well, and there comes the affirmation again, just for today, I let go and allow spirit to lead me. I'm experiencing the same thing, because the same goes for me. If you had asked me the same question, is your awareness training on your website? No, it's not. No, right. I've been working with it for so long. It's been so close to me that I didn't really see it.
Right.
So it's not on the website. So
but
yes, it'll be on my website. Sorry?
But it will be soon.
Yes, and if not, it'll be on Facebook, definitely.
Yeah, right.
Because
right.
That's my playground at the moment, Facebook. Facebook and Facebook Radio, my playground. So what's coming up for you next, Jen, talking about playgrounds?
Well, like I said, these courses are actually coming to fruition even as we speak, so that's very mm-hmm. exciting. You had made a comment, though, about when you're going on your path, and you talked about angels for a minute, and as you know, I deal with angels mm-hmm. quite a lot, and it's really strange to stand up in front of a bunch of business people and say, I work with angels, mm-hmm. and I have some of them coaching me to say, well, you need to find a different word, and you need to, well, if you want to make money at it, you've got to do it a different way, and I go inside and say, okay, what would be another way? And what comes up is, I work with angels. That I have guidance from angels, and particularly Archangel Gabriel, or Gabriella, mm-hmm. if you prefer. And so it's people have some challenges with that, you know, in allowing that angels exist and that the information that they have is valid. So what about you? You've got the awareness.
Yeah, the awareness training is coming on. There's more clarity coming, obviously, because I want to put it in such a form that people get the message straight away, what this is about. And it is about increasing the volume of our soul voice. And it is about investing in ourselves, really, because it's all there already. It's a matter of rediscovering or uncovering what we already have. To really explode with the power of our soul voice, and that's so important for me, because it's the same for me really. When I rediscover, when I reconnect, when I let spirit lead, wow, you know, those aha moments and the joy of this card of the vulture, of letting go of old stuff and everything else. Like, yes, we all deserve to be happy and abundant. And how do we get there? And everybody has their individual path, which works pretty well, because we can put our awareness to our individual path. And doing that as a virtual group is just fascinating, because it has the same group dynamics as if I was sitting in physically in the same room with a group. And that just blows me away, what's possible with virtual groups and virtual workshops today. So yeah, that's what's coming. I'm just looking at the time really. We're kind of like close to the end. And last week, what we didn't realize was that we went kind of like over time. So the announcement of the winner of our musical contest wasn't really on the airwaves. So I'd like to repeat this. We have a winner of our musical contest for this unique piece of music that we're going to use on Purpose Talk Radio. And it's a team of women. It's Cindy, Rachel, and Jillian, and they call themselves the True Trinity. And the title of the winner song is I Am Who I Am. And I can't wait to listen to this song, and it'll be out soon. And then you can all listen to it, and we'll spread the news all over Facebook.
Okay, that is so exciting that we have that winner. And I want to remind everybody too that Barbara and I do joint coaching with
yes. group,
and we do group sessions, and we can do individual sessions. But it has really been awesome. We've had so much fun and so much good feedback from people where we've done these joint coaching sessions. So if you would like to have a joint coaching session with us? That's hard to say. If you would like to have a joint coaching session with us, let us know on Facebook or connect with us on our websites. Again, that's barbarapatterson.info and janrivel.com. And you can find, we now have an actual website for our radio program, and it is purposetalkradio.com. That's purposetalkradio.com. And you can listen to the show from there. You'll find the recordings of the shows from there, and you can find information about upcoming shows as well.
Yeah.
Anything else, Barbara?
Yes, I'd like to repeat the affirmation one more time. Just for today, I let go and allow spirit to lead me.
All right.
So beautiful.
It really is. So we'd like to say thank you for being here with us today.
Time flew again.
Yeah, right. And Barbara just did our affirmation, so we'll say goodbye and soul greetings to all of you. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.